A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS-certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Wait, what is he asking you for?
He just has like an Octonauts book that he brought home from school for some reason. And he keeps asking me to pick like what creature I am or what I want to eat.
And you just picked what?
Halibut.
So it's like not halibut.
Is that a bad choice?
It's not halibut, it's halibut.
They're vegetables, so yeah.
They're vegetables?
That's correct.
Should I be watching Octonauts? Am I? I only
no,
watch it
No, you should
house.
Be watching Bluey. Like, even on your own, you just should be watching
Bluey.
I mean,
Bluey's Australian, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Bluey's huge over here, too. Don't worry. Like, I'm getting...
You have so much makeup on. Is this all for me?
Yes.
Did you put on all that makeup
I
for
did.
Me? You know I like you in your natural beauty state.
No, but I put some highlight on my cheeks. Yeah.
Did you just perform?
I did. I literally just got back from my show.
How was the show?
It was so fun. It was so okay. fun. We were in Wirral, New Brighton. Wirral.
Wirral.
Wirral. The Wirral Juror.
No, and, no relation, I was going to say, to the Wirral Juror.
And they call themselves Wiralians.
Oh, my God. Wiralians is Wiralians. Very funny.
Like Wiralians and Wiralians. Like it was amazing. And I guess I'll read like the best meet cute from tonight's audience. Okay. Cause it's fresh in my head. So I can, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm getting it correct. Cause it's really good. By the way, it's like right outside of Liverpool. It's on the other side of the Mersey River. Okay. It is, fuck, what is it? Okay. I made eye contact with her when I was at a sex club and a guy was balls deep in me. She's now my best friend.
Whoa. So jealous of everyone.
The audience was like not huge. And so the funny thing is the audience.
So
was,
were you like, all right, let's guess who wrote it?
It's like, there's someone in there. There's someone, there's some shit happening. And you're looking around going, was it you? Was it like the granny in the back? Like, is the mother? Is it the daughter? Like, what's happening? It's amazing. It's my favorite. It's so good.
Pretty powerful.
It's really. And you know what? And that's community.
What's the weather like there?
Do you see I have long sleeves? I wore a wool sweater today.
Yeah. It's like 90.
The here, high here 90. Is like and, 60.
Oh, God, that sounds so nice. Although I have to say it's very summer vibes here. Like we went to Rose Night at the Botanic Garden, followed by a night like we were going to go see the Philharmonic and we got rained out. It was in the park, you know, for free. And then we went camping.
The
like
camping,
we're just like,
the
we're outside
content.
Doing it.
I want camping content from Quinn. And that's an alliteration. Camping content from Quinn.
Well, I think the highlights reel is that Cole called me. Cole came up to me. This was actually at the Rose Night. He came up to me and he said, hey, you fucking fuck gut. No, you freaking fuck gut.
What?
And I was like, did you just call me a fuck gut? And he goes, yeah. And he had like the biggest, most brilliant smile. And I was like, Koa, please don't call me things like that because other people might hear and make a judgment about me. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay, sorry. And like walked away. Oh, he's been on a roll. I was lying in bed with him the other day and I said, you know, the best thing I ever did was have you and Griff. And he looked at me and he goes, Oh, mama, that is so sad. So he's got it in for me, but I still had fun with him camping.
So good.
The kids had like a blast. It was a really cool camping place, like on the ocean, and they like did all the iconic camping. I mean, it was like beach mixed with camping, which is so perfect. And they loved the campfire. They loved sleeping in the tent. They loved sitting in little tiny shitty camping chairs. They loved every single thing about it. They were like, we're into this.
Did you guys
and
buy,
it was for Father's Day.
Did you guys buy a tent or did you rent a tent?
No, no. We didn't buy anything. We have a mixture of hand-me-down stuff that people have given us and stuff that we have borrowed. And it all worked just perfectly.
Well, this is the first time you went camping.
This is the first time we took them camping, yeah. Matt and I have been camping, but we have not taken our children camping, which is a whole new rodeo.
That's a whole,
and I have
my
to say,
my friends
they
doing
slept
that.
Like so well. Isn't that weird?
That's amazing. It's the fresh
air,
though.
They slept all through the night. They didn't ask to get up, to do anything, to pee. They didn't get water. They slept from when they went to bed till they woke up at 8:30.
Dude, fresh air. My friend's taking her kid camping, and she's been sending us photos, and they're so fucking cute. And the best is she was like, guys, I shit you not, Macklemore just rolled up to this camping site with his three kids. and then I went to the Beatles Museum.
Celebrities, they're just like us.
Well, I went to the Beatles Museum yesterday, and I was behind this woman, and I was like, she looks so familiar. And she's been in a bunch of TV and movies and shit. Her name is Sarah Baker. I couldn't figure out who it was. Otherwise, I wouldn't invite her to the show.
Very plain name.
No, but you would recognize her. But anyway, like I have a picture of me taking... Anyway, I have a picture of me and she's in the shot, which is good because I was like, I don't know who this is. So I texted my friends who know celebrities and I was like, who is this person? And they're like, oh, it's that. It's her. It's pretty funny. It's pretty cool. It is... Liverpool is really cool. I learned a lot about the Beatles, although didn't hear as much Beatles music as I would have liked to hear if I have a complaint.
Yeah, I can get, though, that if you're from Liverpool, you're like, we get it.
Well,
like,
no.
Enough.
Well, the thing is I paid...
Quit playing Beatles every place that has a jukebox.
That's
we're
fair.
Over it.
If I am going, though, into a Beatles museum called the Beatles Story, and it's supposed to be an interactive museum...
And they played David Bowie the whole time?
They just, like, they had, like, in your ear, it was, like... some footage. It wasn't... Hey, if you're going to Liverpool, let me know. I don't recommend this museum. That being said, like, I was starved for Beatles music. I was like, I need a little bit more. I need more Beatles music. Please.
You guys should play it in the dressing room while you're getting ready.
We did. We put it on in the car when we were driving across the Mersey to Wirral from Liverpool. It's right by there. But shout out to Todd Parkman, one of our listeners, who gave me all these recs. I don't think I used any of them, but I loved the energy with which he came at me, and I liked it.
Good. Great.
Anyway.
You're listening.
To Truly.
Darkly.
Creepily.
I'm Gwendolyn Posner.
And I'm Carrie Ipama, and I'm wearing a face full of makeup. This is wild. This is the
She's
most...
heavily made up.
Does it look
she
crazy?
Beautiful. No, you look very pretty. I'm Thank just you. Not used to seeing you in a full makeup. I'm used
in
to...
a full look?
I'm not used to the full look.
Oh, I bought a dress for the U.S. Embassy party. It's next Monday. Let's see what happens.
Oh, what kind of dress?
I bought a blue dress. It's like cerulean blue.
You should try to get in a relationship at the embassy with an ambassador. That would be cool.
That would be cool. My dress is a bit booby, so I think that's good.
Should we die? Oh,
we got to thank patrons.
Patreon.
Yeah,
we gotta thank Melinda P.
Melinda P. Melinda P. You mean so much to me, but your name ends with the P, and that's all we're doing. Melinda.
Yeah, we never do that. We can never work with that. But what about Melinda? You can lean on me. You can lean on me anytime, duh. You can lean on me anytime, duh. Cause you're Melinda. And one time when I was a little girl, I had a neighbor, and her name wasn't Melinda. It was Shannon, but her big sister was Melinda. And I thought Melinda was the most beautiful girl that I had ever seen. Cause she had long hair. Do you know what I mean? When you're a kid, it's really hard to have long hair. Cause your mom mom always cuts it, and she doesn't care about your hair dreams.
Melinda, did you identify with any of that? Is that something that you felt seen? Melinda, how does your hair look?
Melinda? All right, let's pretend that didn't happen and do a story. Who goes first?
It's an odd ep.
That's me.
So you.
Oh, I'm doing a Skip Hollandsworth as huge.
A textless month.
Skip, I'm not going to be able to do too many more of your articles, Skip. If you're worried that my whole thing is me doing them. No, because Texas Monthly is like, bitch, you're running out of free articles. And I'm like, back off. I will try to get as many Skips in here as possible. Collider and Skip, why not? I'm here to tell you about a man by the name of Gary Johnson. He was raised in Louisiana.
Sounds like a name in Austin Powers when they're like, Gary Johnson, you know, when they're doing like all the names, euphemisms for dicks. Gary Johnson sounds like a euphemism for a dick. That Gary Johnson. You know what I mean?
Poor Gary, lay off.
Well, is he nice? Do we like Gary?
I hope you don't carry. Well, I'm not going to spoil the story. You're going to have to buckle in and listen.
Click.
He was raised in Louisiana. His father was a carpenter. His mother was a housewife. And now he is in his 50s. Living with two cats in the town of Houston. Now, Gary Johnson is his real name. Though it might sound like a dick to you, it is in fact his real name. He goes by a lot of fake names, though, because of the nature of his job. And some of those fake names are, I'll see if you like them any better than Gary Johnson. What about Mike Kane? Or how's this one? This one's good. Jody Eagle.
Mike
Chris
Kane.
Buck.
Chris Buck? These
yeah, what do you like best?
I like Mike Kane because what if you say the middle name is Coca? Try it.
Mike Coca Kane. Oh, no. Out.
I think I like Mike
Jody
Kane.
Jody Flying Eagle.
Jody Eagle is crazy.
So his neighbors, though, do know him as Gary Johnson. And actually, they know him as a guy that works in human resources, which is not what Gary does. Mm-mm. In fact, Gary has a phone in his house, a special phone that he gets special calls on for new clients. And a client is somebody that wants to have a pal of theirs, a lover of theirs, a wife of theirs, a father of theirs, murdered. So they call Gary and they say, mm-hmm. It's time, Gary. They don't say Gary because he hasn't told them his name is Gary. They probably
right,
say it's
Jody
time, Jody Eagle. Get in there and get it done.
You've called yourself out. That's your favorite name, isn't it, Jody Eagle?
That is my favorite.
Yeah.
That is the one I like best. He is the greatest hitman, in fact, known to be the greatest hitman anyway, in Houston. And in the past 10 years, he has been hired to do 60 hits. That's a lot of hits.
Oh my
Even
God.
If we're talking about baseball, it would still be a lot of hits. So the police are watching him because they have learned through an informant that someone wants to kill somebody else. Now, they can't just go arrest that person. What they need to have happen is they have to get evidence, obviously. They need to catch this person ordering this hit and, in fact, even going so far as to pay for it because they have to really prove that the intention is there. Now, here's something you should know that I bet you didn't see coming. Gary knows that the police are watching him. And the reason he knows is that he is one of them. He is not at all what he seems. He is actually an investigator for the Harris County District Attorney's Office. And he is constantly on call. He's never not on call. He is wired all the time. The phone at his house is. And if somebody says, I want you to kill somebody, he is playing one of these roles and his whole job is to gather that evidence. That is.
So he's been hired 60 times and he has captured 60 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I would assume all those people got in trouble. He's really good at what he does because he's a really good actor. And when I say 60, it's like you have to picture that what's so cool about Gary is that he has to be the guy that I want to hire him. Like I meet him and I'm like, yeah, that's my guy. And then he like looks me up and down and is like, what can this bitch afford that will like get her to give me the down payment? And who does she like think she wants to hire? Versus like my rich counterpart steps into an office with him and he has to like five times that amount to look more professional to what that guy would want the hitman to be. Like yeah. he's like
being all these different people. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I have to get the guy in jail to think that it costs $500 to kill somebody. And I have to get the businessman to be like, it costs $50,000 to kill somebody. Whoa. Like, do you know what I mean? It's yeah. that kind of thing where he's like giving the number based on what you want to hear. And he has to be accessible to all of these people. His backstory is that he like always hints that he is a retired marksman that used to be in the U.S. Army Special Forces and like loved the action and always. So once he left, it was like he couldn't stop killing, you know,
looking for that rush.
That's right. He loves a rush. And one of the more publicized cases that he is part of, the story of, is that there was this 38-year-old woman named Lynn Kilroy. And she was a big deal because she was vice president of the Houston Airs Republican Women. And she was married to Billy Kilroy. And he's like a oil guy. So they're rich beyond your wildest dreams. And she started going on walks with a friend and being like, oh, I hate my husband. My husband's so annoying. And she's like, haven't you only been married a year? And she's like, yeah, but I hate that guy. He's so fucking annoying that I was thinking of putting oil on the floor of the shower and being like, oh, maybe he'll slip and die. Ugh, I really want custody of our baby. And I really want his money. And I really want him dead. And then she has
an
affair.
Move over, Gary Johnson. You're acting. Ugh, my God. Is that a master's in acting performance?
Yes, you'll be invoiced later. So she starts having an affair and tells the guy she's having an affair with, I want to kill this guy. And basically, he rats her out or tells someone that does rat her out. And they're like, we're going to have her meet our man.
Sting.
Chris.
Yeah, it's a sting.
Enter Gary Johnson. So Gary Johnson has a hidden camera and they meet in a hotel room. And he gets her to give him a down payment in jewelry that's worth $200,000. And he's like, leaves her by being like, don't worry, you're going to be a widow soon. And then she gets arrested for solicitation of capital murder. And that is her story. I mean, but this is an important story to just illustrate what a day on the job is for Gary, who did spend a year in Vietnam working as a military policeman. And then he came home and he became a sheriff's deputy. And then he started working for the Port Arthur Police Department and did some undercover work. And he got super interested in psychology and he got a master's in psychology and was like, I want to teach. I love psychology. I think it's crazy interesting. I also want to go to the doctoral program and like get my doctorate in psychology. But then he doesn't get accepted to that program, which was a good lesson that, you know, you can be amazing and not get accepted. Hunter College. So when he's not accepted, he is like, I'm going to become an investigator. And in 1989, there is like his whole career shifts. What happens is that there is a lab tech named Kathy who calls a bail bondsman that she used to go to high school with. She's like, now he's a bail bondsman. And she's like, listen, I'm trying to kill my husband. Can you find me a person? You're a bail bondsman. You probably know some like shady people. What's the story? And he's like, yeah, I got you. Click. And then he calls the police and he's like, that was a weird call from a woman I went to high school with. And they are like, what should we do with this information? They call this special crimes division and they're like, do you guys have anybody there that specializes in this? And they don't. And they're like, hey, Gary, you're going to be the hitman. And he's like, what? He's like sitting at his desk. He's like, okay. One thing that I think is interesting about Gary, he's very interested in psychology, and I'm sure this is not lost on him. He's been married and divorced three times, and his second wife describes him as a loner. And of himself, he said, it's hard to trust people.
Yeah.
Because he's like always seen this side of them. And so he doesn't let a lot of people get very close to him. Aww. But he did follow his dream, even though he's doing this. He's still a teacher. And two nights a week, he teaches at a community college. And on Mondays, he teaches human sexuality. And on Tuesdays, he teaches general psychology. So I would think it was so cool if Gary Johnson was my teacher.
Yeah, very cool.
All the students just think he's a teacher, by the way. Like, none of them know this. They're all like, he's my, like, nerdy, mellow teacher, and he likes to talk a lot about people's stressors and stuff. Well, I'll get to that for sure.
It's like Barry.
So he thinks that he's investigated up to 300 allegations, and that a lot of them were, like, didn't come to be really people that wanted to kill someone or didn't follow through with it. And what's interesting about the people that he talks to is you have to realize who they all might be. Like, what the – okay, so the idea is if you're talking about somebody that's been – that's an ex-con or is in jail or something, they have a lot of contacts. They're not going to end up talking to Gary. Mm-hmm. But all these people we think of as not somebody that might be looking for a killer are the people that end up talking to him. So all his – cases are lots of people that have never had any run-in with the law. Ooh, so it makes the whole thing that much more interesting. And he wears all these costumes and, like, dresses like a cool biker, and there'll be people that try to argue their case by being like, oh, here was this guy kind of flirting with me, having me talk about all my problems, getting me to talk murder. Like, he started talking about murder. You know, a lot of people, their defense will be basically
he coerced me into it. He, like, almost, like, convinced me.
So he's very careful. Like, he's very careful not to. I want to tell you about another case that was a 31-year-old oil rig worker. He wanted custody of his kids. I don't know if they were getting divorced or about to, but his wife had already left him for another man. And he's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to lose the kids. So he ends up telling a topless dancer, do you know any, like, people that come to this club that are shady that I could maybe, I don't know, hire to kill my wife? And she, of course, told the police. And it's this thing where you're like, if that person didn't tell the police, that wife could be dead.
Totally.
It's so interesting who the good players are in the stories and how somebody always has to step forward and be like, I'm going to see something. I'm going to say something. I'm going to put a stop to what I think is an almost murder.
And I also think, too, as, like, someone who works in that industry, like, I mean, I'm so glad they believed her, too. Right. Like, I'm so glad that.
Oh, my God. Completely. Completely. So what they do next is they, you know, send Gary in, and then he meets with Gary and he's like, I want you to go. It's like so brutal. He's like, I want you to go to her house. I want you to slit her wrists, and I want you to hold her down till she bleeds to death, so it looks like she committed suicide. And he's like, whoa, that's a really intense way for her to go. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? Like, a few weeks ago, I went to, the hospital that I filed this thing. It's like a mental health warrant saying that she was suicidal. But then they put her, because she's like a risk to the kids, so they put her in the hospital. They, like, examined her and they were like, she is not suicidal. They have her leave.
What an asshole.
He's like, the thing is, but he's like, now if she dies of suicide, not only will I get the life insurance, but I can sue those doctors for malpractice.
Oh.
Do you die? The, like,
oh my God.
Devilish.
The thought. Yes.
I mean, the crazy thing is he's talking to
a police officer,
Gary, about all this.
Yeah.
Who he thinks is named Mike. And he's like, Mike, you got to do this for me, man. And they're like at the hotel. And Mike's like, I'm totally going to do this for you. Like, definitely. Are you sure? Okay, I'll do it. And then the police come in to the room. And what I think is wild about this case is he turned to Gary and he goes, Mike, what should I do? What should I do? Because he was so trusting of him that he still, despite everything that was happening, could not believe that like, he's like, Mike, you and I are in big trouble. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It always blows my mind that, like, when people ask, like, are like, do you know anyone who kills anyone? Like, who can I hire? it blows my fucking mind because you have to like involve so many people into the crime. Mm-hmm. Like it's such a, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not condoning just doing the crime yourself, but like guys, you're literally giving witnesses. Like what are you doing?
I also wanted to tell you that there was one guy that hired him that was like, we'll meet at a diner and the way that we will know each other is I will be sitting down and you will be sitting down at the diner, at the counter, and I will come up and I will say to you, that looks like good pie. And you will say, all pie is good pie. And I'm like, these people also just watch too many movies. Like, it's crazy, well, right? That they're like...
You know what? It's such a great reminder to be like, everybody thinks that they're the lead in their own story. You know what I mean? Like, that guy thinks he's a fucking... Fuck that. Fuck these people, man. Ugh.
There was a guy that hired him that was like... he worked at a drugstore, and he was like, I want you to cut the brake cables on my wife's car make sure my wife and baby get killed. And the reason I want them killed is because I'm ready to start a whole new life as a private eye who... solves crimes.
Fuck right off.
What? Grow the fuck up.
Grow up.
There was a kid that hired him. Oh, like I think he was like in high school, and he was like, he gave him Atari computer games and $3 and $2.30 in nickels. And he's like, this is for you. You've got to kill my classmate because he likes the girl I like. So weird. I did want to give you like one story that another anecdote that was actually really nice, which was that really nice. I mean, none of this is really nice, but really comparatively sweet, speaking,
really nice.
So heartwarming. So there was a woman that went into Starbucks and was like telling them about how horrible her boyfriend was all the time, like telling this employee about it. And I do love that you told the Starbucks person, like, you want to hire someone to kill your boyfriend. But she was like, this is really bad. This is really bad. And then she's like, I have to kill him. It's my only way out of the relationship. And then Gary gets hired, and then he looks up her case and goes through it and is like looking at all the calls made and is like, this woman is battered.
No.
And I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to trap her. Instead, I'm going to try to get her the social services that she needs and a therapist and try to help her get out of this relationship without killing this person.
Yeah.
But I just thought, like, Gary, we
he
really
has, like
Gary.
A little bit of a moral compass, which is really.
Oh, he super does, which I feel like if you're like around this, that would be all that keeps you afloat, you know?
Mm.
Anyway, he talks about how. He does notice that there's a real uptick in this kind of shit when the economy is bad, and that so much of it is just people like being desperate and like wanting money. And he also talks about how his days doing this are numbered because look at us. We're talking about it, and Skip wrote about it. And in fact, they have made this into a movie called Hitman, and it looks great. I can't wait to watch it. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's Glenn Powell, and I have not yet seen it, but I'm excited to see it.
But
I've been
wanting
to watch it.
Now I'm getting kind of famous in a way where what's going to start happening is somebody hires a hitman and I show up and they're going to be like, oh, you're Gary Johnson. Like, it's a little like you can't Carbonaro effect this forever. You know, Ashton Kutcher can't like show up and something weird happens before people are like, oh, I get it. I'm being punked. So it's like, Gary's days are numbered, which is scary. There'll have to be another Gary because
it's. Are you rhyming?
When you think
it's
of the magnitude,
there'll have to be another Gary.
Another Gary, or you better be wary
because you don't want anybody. Because
you're
going to
get buried. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It was good to end on a rhyme. And that's the story.
Whoa! I am excited to see that movie. That is wild. Whoa. Maybe where you're going to go after, like, what if that becomes your job?
That's what I want to do with my social work degree for sure.
I feel like that would be wild. I would just love to see you be like, yeah, I'll kill that guy.
Yeah, I'll fucking do it. I'll do it in a heartbeat. Do you have a story or no?
Nah. Hey, and now a word from our sponsors. Okay. We're back. All right. I got this information from Wikipedia, Daily Mail Online, Paste Magazine, Cosmopolitan, Today. And I'm going to take you to a little movie I like to call 51st Dates. Have you seen it?
Is that the one?
Are you seriously?
You forgets?
Yes. Did you know? You really asked me that? I know that. Okay. So in my show, Six Chick Flicks, this is just a plug for my show. In my show, Six Chick Flicks, we ask the audience their favorite chick flicks and then we improvise them online. Like we improvise them on stage. So you recreate mm-hmm. these iconic ones. And so we've gotten a couple times 51st Dates. And if you don't know what happens in 51st Dates, let me give you a little premise. You're dead. No, Drew Barrymore or Adam Sandler. It's in Hawaii. Adam Sandler sees Drew Barrymore and he like flirts with her. They have like a little, nice little conversation. And then the next day he comes back and he goes to flirt with her again. And she like doesn't recognize him at all. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? And he finds out that she has like anterograde amnesia and her brain resets every 24 hours. Now, it's a rom-com, so essentially what happens is he finds ways to, like, see her every day, and he falls in love with her. And then at the end of the movie, it's this, like, beautiful, picturesque ending where he is on a boat, and she wakes up, and she doesn't know where she is, and then he pops in a video, and it's like, hey, you have to find out that you have no memory, but you're in love with me, and I make you fall in love with me every day. Whenever we improvise, and I'm always like, what are the ethics of this? Like, and then she has a kid. You find out that she has a child. So it's like, imagine waking up and being like, I'm fully pregnant with a strange man, who I've never met before. Like, how fucking scary is that? Like, so that blew my fucking mind. And then I saw recently that the inspiration behind the movie is a real story.
No.
Yes. Quinn? Yes.
I have a feeling you're going to tell it. I have a feeling
no,
you're
going
to tell it.
I'm not. That's okay, it. Thank you so much.
Get
have
to the
a great
story.
Night.
Now just okay. Get to the story.
All right. So I just want to give some backstory. Anterograde amnesia is when there is damage to the brain and specifically the hippocampus, which is the medial temporal lobe of the brain. And it's like damage to the hippocampus is typically what is associated with this type of condition. Now, there's an article in the BMJ, which is like, okay, it's like written by a neurologist or a clinical neurologist who like knows and deals with these disorders. And they're like any movie, this shit doesn't happen. That's not how it works. So,
right.
Enter Michelle Philpotts. She's in Spalding, Lincolnshire in England. I should go visit her. Anyway, I've been to Lincoln.
She won't
I've
remember
seen the church
anyway.
There. She won't remember anyway. So it's a very sad story because she actually suffered from two severe car accidents within 5 years of each other. The first, oof. She was on a motorcycle. She got in a crash in 1985. The other was in 1990. And there's a picture of this car crash in the 1990. And like her driver's side is like smashed in. And so obviously she sustained horrible brain trauma or head trauma to both accidents. By 1994, so 4 years after the last accident, she had developed epilepsy. At this point, so she would have these episodes. She would go through seizures, and it would cause more brain damage for her. And it was that she developed anterograde amnesia. So it came to light one day, and it was like slowly progressing, but it came to light one day when she was an office worker. She worked in an office. And part of her job was to photocopy this like one page. And all day she photocopied the same page all day because she kept forgetting that she had photocopied this. So right. She was fired from the job, which feels harsh.
Harsh.
Very harsh. Like you're let go. I don't
like that
think
was
okay.
What you thought when you walked in and there were 3,000 of that.
Yes.
You were like, well, you're incompetent. Like,
it's like
what
something's
the fuck?
Really wrong. So but all the articles were like, well, she was fired. I'm sure this wasn't like the first strike. I'm sure there was like other things happening, but like that sort of was the straw that broke the camel's back. So from her perspective, she can remember everything up until 1994 and everything mm-hmm. after 1994, she cannot remember. Sometimes her brain resets after like a day. She did an interview with Matt Lauer ages ago on the Today Show. And like forgot his name in the interview or like right before. These, she just doesn't know. So in her mind, John Major is the prime minister. He was a prime minister in 1994. And Forrest Gump is the big movie everybody is rushing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Ace of Base is the big song. I saw the sign, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's her reality. And so every morning she wakes up. And
arguably much better than ours. She probably still thinks Matt Lauer's a nice guy. If she
she doesn't know his name, which is, you know, she probably thinks better Bill Cosby's everyone. A good guy. You know what I mean? Like she's stuck. So every morning she wakes up and she believes it's 1994. Now, the good news is that she met her husband, Ian, before the accident. However, the two of them got married in 1997. So every day she wakes up, he's like, we're married. And she's like, what? And he's like, we're married. Okay. And she's like, wait a minute, what? And he shows her the photo album from their wedding to remind her, or to as proof, not even to remind her, because the memory is not going to come back. It's just proof. She also writes post-it notes and keeps them all over her house. She also has a phone calendar that she puts appointments, and anytime she meets someone, she does anything, she logs it for future reference. So that if they're like, you've met this person, she's like, when? And can go back and search for that person and any anecdotes. When she leaves the house, she brings a sat-nav, which is a satellite navigational system, a sat-nav. She leaves the house with her address in this so that if something were to happen, she could get back home.
Do you know what it gently reminds me of, just anecdotally? Did you ever see the show Catastrophe?
Yeah. Did I?
It's so good and so funny, but it starts with a couple meeting and having a one-night stand in London, and she gets pregnant, and then it's about everything that happens. But their marriage is years and years, and like they have two kids, but like you'll see them years later and they're married, and she'll call him and he'll look at his phone and it'll say like, Anna, sex in London.
Yes, yes.
But then like they have two kids.
Yes.
He's like picking up the phone and it still says, Anna, sex in London.
Isn't it Rob Delaney? Is it Rob Delaney who's the guy?
Is that that guy? He's so great.
He's so great. And also, very sad story.
Yeah, don't go there.
We can't go there. Okay. But he's really great. So she's living life this way. And her husband is like, yeah, you have to have a lot of patience. But I'm just so grateful she knew me before. But think about this. I can't imagine getting up, thinking it's 1994 and then entering today's world. Like, just think about that. Think about internet, iPhones, just the technology changing, what cell phones look like, what people are wearing. Like, that has to feel so disorientating. And yeah,
she's in the Jetsons. Like, she wakes up. Do you know what I mean? Like, she wakes up and she's like, you're like, what is this cellular phone?
Like, yeah, can we watch a movie? Yes, it's online. Like, what? What VHS do you want to use? You know what I mean? Like all this stuff. So, and then she says every joke is funny to her because it's the first time she hears it. And she loves watching EastEnders, which is a soap opera here in the UK, but she can't follow the plot or anything because like, no episode is new, but she's like, never rewatching something. It's always the first time. Like, I'm sure she's seen the pilot episode of like, so many shows and is like, oh God, when do I stop it? So that's Michelle Philpotts, and I thought I would kind of go. There were some other anecdotal cases that I'm going to bring up because they were in the articles, and I'm sure you want to know. So this was 1994, and this was sort of like the biggest case that people knew. She was written about a lot. People really knew of her. And again, she's mentioned in the article in the Wikipedia about 51st states as having inspired that story. But in 2010, researchers talked about a woman who developed a very similar kind of memory loss. What would happen was that she would be able to remember events throughout the day, and then she would go to sleep and the memories of the day would get erased. But what was interesting is they would like do, obviously a lot of these cases, people are constantly working on exercises or trying to figure out what's going on, what can maybe activate your memory. And so some tests that they ran on her was like, they would have her complete a task on day one, a new task that she didn't know. And then the following day, they would present the task again, and they found that
she was faster.
And they found that there was some recall to some of the tests, right? Like that, like that's there was something in her brain that was like, oh, I recognize it, and moving. The other thing that was interesting about this is that this person in 2010 or had said that she did not watch 51st Dates before this started happening in her brain. However, since this happened to her, she'd watched 51st Dates numerous times. And slowly, like when they would ask her questions, she slowly started to say like Drew Barrymore was her favorite actress. Again, she said she didn't watch 51st Dates, but researchers think it was because there was something in her subconscious of like hearing the story, maybe feeling it represented back to her, that like she had an affinity for Drew Barrymore in some way, which I find really fascinating. Again, these like subliminal things.
Like she couldn't hold these like memories in front, but they're like sneaking through the back door and they're like somewhere there lurking.
Or it's like there's, it's like, I don't know, I'm sure I've talked about this or maybe I haven't, but it's like I read this article about someone with Alzheimer's, and it was, it was this improv couple. It was like a comedian and improviser, whatever. But it was her mother, and her mother had Alzheimer's and was living with them. And her husband, as an improviser, would just yes and her mother constantly. Because again, like, and I want to be very generous because I think, you know, it's for it to be your loved one losing their memory, not recognize you, is horribly traumatic. And I understand why you're, why the impulse would say, you know, no, mom, I'm your daughter. He's gone or whatever.
You're mad. I am your daughter.
Yes, you become the others. You become Nicole Kidman and the others. No, but I can understand the impulse of being like, no, mom, we've talked about this. Like, you're living with me now, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Where her husband doesn't have that, like, sort of impulse to correct her. And so he would just be, she'd be like, I'm going to the store today. And he'd be like, yeah, you are. And like, she'd forget about it, but he would just be agreeable. He wouldn't put up a fight. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't tell her she's wrong. And her daughter recounts the story being like, yeah, like he became my mom's favorite person because he was just yes-anding her. And again, she didn't have her, you know, the Alzheimer's was pretty progressed, but it's like that subliminal thing of like feeling safe around someone. And so I think like,
oh my gosh, it reminds me of, did you see that Anthony Hopkins movie, The Father or something?
No, I didn't.
Oh, so it's done so well, and it's basically a perspective of somebody that has Alzheimer's and what that would feel like, and it's done like a scary movie. So the idea is you're in his head, and things will happen where like he'll have a conversation in his living room with his daughter, and then he'll go in the kitchen to get a glass of water, and he'll come back and his daughter will be someone else, or the room will be different, or she'll be saying it's her house and not his. And like, you're trying to keep up with all these things, but it's all from the perspective of like you being so severely like jarred constantly that it does work in the genre of scary movie. And it's a really good peek into like what that might be like. And like, it does make you be like, oh my god, we need to like go slower for this person. We need to help them on board constantly, because
it's really hard.
He's like, he fakes, sometimes he freaks out and yells just like you would, and sometimes he fakes it till he makes it and is like, oh yeah, 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 because he's like, what the fuck is happening? But you feel it.
So it's really well done. My grandma has some dementia, and, you know, I mean, I think a lot of grandparents are, you know, if you encounter that, I mean, part of me is also like, how lucky am I that I have a grandma who has dementia, because she's old, and what a, you know, what a gift. That being said, I feel really grateful that my grandma is not doesn't get angry, but like that is a very natural, normal response, is that anger, those like flashes of rage, because I can't imagine not feeling in control. And that must feel so scary. Ooh, okay. So anyway, so some of these people, though, the good news is their brain just like resets. So like, you have a shitty day, reset, baby, reset. So, okay, that was one woman. Another person, two people were discovered to have a similar form of anterograde amnesia that is like Drew Barrymore's character, in July of 2015. So there's one guy who is in the UK, and he's from Germany, and he wakes up every day thinking it's March 14th, 2005 because, and here's the thing that freaked me out about this guy, is he went in for a dental procedure, went under anesthesia, which led to a very rare, unexplained condition, which makes him forget facts within 90 minutes, which is like, that feels...
He's just in a home?
He has to be, but he wakes up thinking it's 2005. Dangerous. Yeah, it's really scary. Okay, another woman thinks that every day is October 15th, 2014. She had a kickboxing injury. She slipped and hit her head on a metal pole. And so she thinks every day, like, what was happening October 2014? We got Obama as president. Like, what do you do? Like, what? Ugh, how do you explain to people?
It was a good day, I guess.
Yeah. You're like, you know what? Let's stay in today. Okay. So this also led me to an interesting article in Parade, and it's written by Brooke Nisley. But this woman, Brooke, and this article came out in 2024, I believe February of this year. And so she recalls watching, and this is an interesting perspective because she herself had memory loss, and she talks about this experience, which was, she remembers watching 51st States before this thing happened to her. And she was like, that's so crazy. Like, there's no way that would ever happen. And then she's like, and then 10 years later, I experienced it. At 25 years old, she was climbing a redwood tree and she fell 20 feet. And she was horribly injured. She hit her head and she was in a coma for 10 days. And when she came to, she had to relearn everything. She had to relearn how to walk, talk, eat, drink, think. And she describes the feeling of her memories coming back. Spoiler alert, she wrote this article. Her memories have come back. She knows what's up. But she describes chunks of her life are missing. Like, she would see someone and recognize them, but have no clue how she met them. Or...
Yeah, me too. same. Maybe I hit my head.
Yeah. That's what it is. So the best, though, is, like, she talks about it in the love story context. And so she talks about how watching 51st States, she was like, that's so sweet. Henry, which is Adam Sandler's character, like, has to convince this woman every day. Me, I think it's weird. I think it's scary. I can't imagine. That being said, she talks about her experience in love, in, like, where she, before the accident, she was, like, sleeping with this guy, and he was, like, pretty noncommittal. He's like, I don't do relationships. And she'd be like, what are we? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. And she's like, okay, cool. She's 25. She's like, whatever, cool. I'm fine with it. I'm happy. I'll take what I can get. And so when this accident happened, it's, like, a little bit while you were sleeping, where this guy comes to the hospital and is like, I'm her boyfriend. Even though before she got in this accident, he was like, I don't think I really want anything serious. Yeah. It gets more fucked.
Sounds pretty annoying.
Really fucking annoying. So then he even, like, goes to the hospital and tells all of her friends and her parents that he is her boyfriend.
This is crazy.
It's a get while you're sleeping. But again, it's worse because he was sleeping with her and, like, didn't commit. It just feels like a opportunistic creep. But her best friend obviously knew the truth. And so she was telling all of their friends, being like, that guy sucks. He didn't want to be in a relationship with her. He's fucking lying. Fuck him. But this guy knew she could not remember things and was, like, using it for his advantage. He was like, I'm visiting you every day because I'm going to work on these puzzles with you. So he would come every morning and be like, I'll be back later. And finally, her memory started to sort of heal. And she recalls him one day being like, all right, I'm coming for 5 minutes. But, you know, like normal, I'm going to come back tonight and I'm going to do these puzzles with you. And she was like, okay. And her brain remembered. And so she remembers, like, staring at the door and him not showing up. And she realized, this guy was telling me he was here every day. And he wasn't. He was using my injury to his fucking advantage.
That is so wild.
Manipulative. Also, like,
that's a scary story.
Yeah. So that's, and of course she dumped him, her memory came back and all that good stuff. But she talks about how she's like, wouldn't that be nice if 51st States existed? Like, that was, like, a person that actually cared and not someone who's, like, willing to take advantage of your naivete.
There is someone like that out there.
There is someone like that. So 51st states, interestingly enough, and this is the last anecdote I will leave you with, which is 51st states also inspired a study on dementia patients. And what they would do is they would take dementia patients who are in a care facility and they would have them watch a movie of their loved ones every morning to see if it helped. And to be honest, I don't know the results of this study, but I just really liked it. I like the idea. Because I can imagine that would make a difference, especially because if their family that's out and about and they can't visit every day, to have like a constant reminder of like, hey, this is a person you know, this is a person you know, this is a person you know.
Well, I know that they did things in homes for people like that where they got them pets, mm-hmm. and it helped tremendously.
Yeah.
Like they had to be very careful about like reminding them when to feed their pet and yeah. when not to. But outside of that, having to feel like there was this thing always there that you were part of taking care of it,
yeah,
was like really important and amazing for them.
I also saw somewhere that music similarly has this feeling they had. I mean, it's like an upworthy video that's supposed to make you cry. And I got to tell you, good job, guys. It did. Which is there's this video of like these people who are wheelchair bound, who I think are experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's. I don't know which one, but they would listen to music from their youth and they would like light up. But I think I've told mm-hmm. you this story where I had a neighbor who lived across the street from my family's home. He was kind of like a little bit of a curmudgeon-y grumpy guy. He would always like yell at my dad for driving too fast out of his driveway. It drove my dad crazy, which just kind of was like a little bit funny. But part of my job, I think I've told you this, was my at Christmas Eve, my mom makes me go and deliver candy yeah. to all the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I went and I saw this guy before he passed away. I think it was mm-hmm. that year he passed away. And I went to his house and I sat down and his wife was telling me how she took him to the Hallelujah Chorus at the church. And as soon as the Messiah came on, like, he's wheelchair bound. He has Alzheimer's. He was pretty far advanced. He like stood right up, like the wow. music, and you know, people stand up during the Messiah Court. Like he stood up.
Yeah.
And then I was also talking to his wife while he was sitting there and he just like had music playing constantly. But I was talking to his wife and I was like, yeah, I have to like learn lines. I'm doing a show. I was going on tour or something. And he looked at me and he goes, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Like fully engaged. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are you talking? He's like, how do you do that? I go, are you talking about learning lines? He goes, yes. And I said, I think it's just a muscle. I don't know. And he goes, why is this happening to me?
I think that your mom owes you a spa day. Truly.
No, but
I also,
like, my mom
made me go deliver candy to people and I had to feel sad and real with them. I would, you know what? I'd call Gary Johnson. And I'd be like,
I think that year my mom did give me a manicure. I think she did give me a manicure that year. But it was, I mean, I look back at that and I feel really grateful to have had that time with him. Because again, he passed away that year. But I also yeah. was just like,
you were the exact right person to be there at that time.
But I also am
many
like,
many of us are not.
But I also like look back at that memory. And obviously, like he said those three things, like those have stayed with me. Though, like,
yeah.
him looking at me going, why is this happening to me? That's like, he had enough curiosity.
And the next day, Carrie started medical school.
No. The next day, I Wikipedia'd 51st states and I go, is this real?
You were like, you know what, sir? Have you seen 51st states? I'm pretty sure I know what's going on.
I'm pretty sure I know. I think my favorite is now that I'm going to be, if anybody asks us to do 51st states, I'm going to tell them, do you guys know it's based off a real person? I'm going to have to. But can you believe
that? You simply must.
Every day.
Now that you know this much, I wonder how far you'll spin out.
I'll spin out so hard. Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
KK will be like, and that's all the time we have. The rest of the show is canceled.
Our shows are getting slowly longer and longer and longer. They are. We went over again tonight.
Because
we're
relaxing into it. Yeah.
It was too much fun is what it happens.
You know what? Fun is infectious. So if you guys are having fun, I'm sure your audience is.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the story of Michelle Philpotts and 51st
States. Well, thanks for staying up so late o'clock at night and telling it.
It's midnight my time. That's how much I love you
all. I know. You're
all.
Amazing. You're a miracle.
Oh, Miracles.
My mommy says, you're a miracle. Your mommy says, go deliver the candy.
I'm a special widow guy. By the way, that musical, so fucking good.
So good.
So yes. good. Quinn, I'm so excited to see you. Ugh, in like yeah. 3 weeks.
When will I see you? You're coming into town on...
Yeah, but you're out of town.
I'll be out of town.
When do you get back in town?
I'm seeing you the 6th.
Okay. I might see you the 7th or the 8th. I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely seeing you the 8th.
You said you'd see me the 8th. So.
I'm definitely seeing you the 8th. But then the 7th is a possibility. The 7th is a possibility.
Great.
My mommy says...
It's a real ability.
It's a real ability.
I'm going to pretend I forgot you. Just to see what you do.
The Mercury's in retrograde, and so is my amnesia. Okay, well, goodbye. Bye. Join Patreon. Like, subscribe.
Join Patreon.
Hey, Quinn, I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.